Welcome to Episode 3 of the Post Meridian Radio Pod. I'm Neil Marsh, Managing Director of the Post Meridian Radio Players. Today we conclude the three-part podcast of Tomes of Terror 2, our 2007 live Halloween trilogy, featuring a production of William Hope Hodgson's 1914 seabound thriller, The Stone Ship. This adaptation was originally penned in 1980 for CBC Radio's Nightfall series by Len Peterson, one of Canada's foremost playwrights, who was kind enough to grant us permission for its use. Peterson contributed a number of adaptations to Nightfall, including Poe's The Telltale Heart, Anthony Boucher's They Bite, and W.W. Jacobs' The Monkey's Paw, which we performed as part of the original Tomes of Terror in 2006. The Stone Ship proved to be an interesting challenge to the live sound effects department. While we could have relied solely on digital effects, we wanted to give the audience something interesting to look at. So, in addition to digital ambience for the lapping water, we built a mock-up of a lifeboat, complete with oarlocks and thick rails for the oars, and used a real oar and a large tub of water for rowing and splashing sounds. The effect was amazing and drew lots of attention from the audience after the show. So now, prepare yourselves yet again as we return you to the library and your host.
I must go down to the sea again, to the lonely sea and the sky, and all I ask is an old stone ship and a star to steer her by. That's not how I remember the poem. This is the book that has a story for you, but now I'm seriously doubting its accuracy in depicting maritime life. But wait. It does feature some wonderfully detailed engravings of sailors' legends. There's a mermaid, the Leviathan. Oh, and look, there's a kraken. And a horseshoe on a ship's mast, nailed there for good luck. You are probably quite aware that living as precariously as they did on the ocean with their fates in the hands of Poseidon himself, sailors were apt to be rather superstitious, as the compendium of knowledge helpfully notes. Let's see. Whistle aboard a ship, for instance, and a storm would arise. Light a cigarette with a candle on land, and a sailor dies at sea. Red sky in morning, sailor take warning. That one at least has basis in fact. Let's not forget that we must take great care to avoid harming our friend, the albatross. Above all the rhymes and restrictions, however, there was one true rule which could never be subverted. What the sea wants, the sea will have. Perhaps that's why sailors loved a good ghost story. While reminding them of this law of the ocean, it eased their troubled spirits. Better those poor drowned souls than them. But what, I wonder, would the sea want with a ship made entirely of stone? Oh, I think we are about to receive an answer. The book is ready to tell its story. The Post-Meridian Radio Players now present William Hope Hodgson's classic tale of maritime monstrosity, The Stone Ship.
Where menacing things? At sea? Well, where more menacing? Unterrifying. One trip in the small bark, the Alfred Jessup, just before I got me ticket. Did we come across a phantasmagoria to make the flesh creep? As mine, I pray God, will ne'er creep again. We were 20 days out of London and well into the tropics. There's no land nearer than Africa, 1,000 miles eastward. A full day without a breath of wind. The night found us with our lower sails up in the bunt lines. I was on the 8 to midnight watch, me ears alive to the enormous silence you can only know in an old-time windjammer like the Jessup. The one sound, that faint moaning of the masts and gear chafing and whining to the occasional sly roll of the ship.
Dupree?
Hmm?
You hear that?
What? Hear what, Broder?
It's a weird thing. Oof the put boo.
Oh. Sounds like a brook running down a hillside.
At no land.
No land nearer than 1,000 fathoms under our barnacles.
Stay. Listen.
What's that weird smell?
Lord love us, at sea since I was a shaver. Never heard the like of that.
Go call the second mate, Andrus, and you hurry.
Butter, that on the lookout.
Second mate heard it too. They're coming on the run.
What the blazes are you doing?
Nothing, sir. Keep and watch.
Oh, then what's up? Broder, Dupree?
Something up the put bow, sir.
Running water.
And croaking, groaning. But that stopped.
If you've got your night glasses, sir.
I kind of see a thing.
Aye, it's mist.
Oh, what a devil of a stink.
Oh, what's that? Look, sir.
Light, just off the bow.
Dupree, take the glasses. See if you can make it out.
Moving.
Tis, and it isn't.
Ahoy there. Ahoy. Ahoy there.
Lights flickered out.
No. They're new.
Shooting? That's us?
Missed if they are.
Keep an eye out. I'm going to call the captain.
Do better to call God, methinks.
In no time, the second was back, with a captain, mate, and third, all in their shirts and trousers.
Anything fresh, Dupree?
The light's gone, sir.
But that sound of running water isn't still out there.
Captain Jessup, owner of our ship, and the mate, stood some time along the port rail, watching through their night glasses, and listening.
Ahoy! Ahoy there!
Captain, should we investigate?
Yes. Barometer steady, there'll be no wind for a while. Clear one of the lifeboats, Mr. Andrews. Pick out 6 men. I'll be back when I get my coat.
Away, up with you, Dupree, Broder. Get the cover off the port lifeboat.
Aye, aye, sir.
And bail her out.
We had the boat into the water within 20 minutes. Broder and I and 4 others from our watch were picked to go. Captain Jessup came down at the end of the main topsail halyards into the boat and the second mate after him.
Cast off! Mr. Andrews, take the tiller.
Aye, sir.
We rowed into a warm, wet mist. Captain Jessup took a heavy revolver from the second mate. I knew then he'd had a notion, too. We might be moving into something dangerous. I made certain my sheath knife was clear.
Take your bearings by the sound, Mr. Andrews.
This is crazy. A running brook in mid-ocean.
Good Lord!
What's wrong?
There's something in the water! It's slithering and writhing around me arm! Gah! clutching at it. Oh, it's got a tight hold on it, sir, with its mouths.
Hey, all this splashing, it's going to swamp the boat.
Backwater all. Put some beef into it now.
Back! It's let go of the oar, sir.
Why in blazes is there no lantern in this boat so we can see what caught Dupre's oar? Back now! Back!
What the devil's that?
Whatever it was, it came a good bit out of the water to make that much splash.
Back oar! Back, men! Back! Back!
Well, we wanted nothing of a monster we couldn't see above or in the water. We pulled like madmen to get back to the ship and aboard.
Now then, men, after the stewards served out a tot of grog each and we fetched a couple of anchorites in the deck bullseye, those who are willing can come with me, and we'll have another go at finding out what devil's work that is yonder. I'll not order any of you to come. Those who do, take an axe each, good weapons, and any trouble.
We'll all come, sir.
Aye, sir.
Aye.
Not a fear day. Well, we'll see.
Armed with the lights, axes, and grog, we felt ready to face anything. And down we went again into the heaving boat.
Lash one of the lamps to a boat hook and throw it over the bow up there. Should light up the water a couple of fathoms ahead of us. Less chance of something coming at us without our knowing. Let's go. Cast off the painter.
Now it's got my water. Whatever it is. A monster.
Something hurled and beat about in a halo of light over the bow of the boat. And smash the boat hook and the lamp.
A monster's pulled the oar out of the ends. It's gone.
Hold fast. Stop rowing so I can shine this bullseye down and catch a glimpse of that creature. Hold steady. Lord in heaven.
The sight. The water was thick and livid for yards round the boat with the hugest eels I ever saw.
Oh, mother of God. Save me. Hide me.
Dig in, men. Row on. Those eels are a sight, but they don't explain the almighty sounds out yonder. Row, lads.
I can't. I've got no oar.
I'll keep flashing this bullseye around. They don't like the light, those eels. It'll keep them off the oars.
No, sir. One's got mine.
No, now, there, see. You flash a light on him and he's gone. Row, lads, row. Mr. Andrews, keep her dead on the noise ahead.
Hey, sir.
But as we rowed, other sounds began to loom up around us. Strange, cathedral-like echoes.
That's a rum thing. Good Lord.
We lay on our oars, staring round into the darkness ahead. The old man swung the beam of his lamp upwards, making circles in the night. And we saw something looming vaguely through the mist. And then lost it.
Pull a few strokes, all. A bit more. A bit more. Easy.
Now we saw the thing plainly. A strangely made mast standing up out of the mist.
Ship ahoy!
Ship ahoy!
Ship ahoy there!
Ship ahoy there! Ship ahoy there!
That's no ship's mast as ever I've seen.
Ahoy!
Ahoy! Ahoy!
Ahoy there!
Ahoy there!
Good Lord.
The captain readied his revolver, but didn't fire. I gripped me axe.
Stand ready to backwater. Mr. Andrews?
Aye, sir.
Watch my hand. Steer as I tell you.
I could see the thing distinctly now. She was a ship, all right enough. Ah, what a strange one. She lay very high out of the water, and water was streaming down her sides.
There's your running water, but what on earth is she built of?
It looks like stone, Captain.
A stone ship, floating in mid-Atlantic.
And a slime on it. A David Jones ship, by God.
And stinks like a corpse.
Ship ahoy!
Ship ahoy!
Ship ahoy!
Ship ahoy!
Ship ahoy!
Ship ahoy!
No one aboard there, sir. Shall I put the boat alongside?
Yes. Let's get to the bottom of this queer thing. A few more strokes there, and we'll board her.
Oh, and the look and feel of that ghostly ship when we got aboard. Stone. Stone everywhere.
Yeah, makes no sense.
Keep a sharp lookout, lads, and your axes at the ready, so if there's anything weird and wild...
You ever hear of a stone mast?
A solid stone ship? Why, she must weigh 1,000 tons more than she's buoyancy to carry.
What was that?
Don't go imagining. There's enough solid unnatural fact here without you adding to it.
It's not possible. Such a ship.
No, Bruder. But you're aboard her.
Dupre.
Sir?
A post of honor for you. Lead the way, I'll cover with the bullseye.
Aye, sir.
We'll try aft first.
How's the raised deck here? It made of anything different?
That's what we call stone at home.
Let's take a peek in the deckhouse first.
She's as strange as anything I've seen since I checked the safe.
We made our way up the sloping deck. The fore part of the deckhouse had 2 square window holes that stared out at us curiously, ominously. And suddenly, something, a great shaggy head of red hair, rose slowly into sight through the window nearest us.
Ah!
Dupre, what's got you?
Oh, my God! Out in that window!
What is it, Captain?
No, it's gone.
What?
At the port window, sir. A great red-haired head came up and then went in a moment.
Bosh, man, you're fancying things. Ease up on your nerves.
I did see it, sir. A red-haired monster.
Stow it, Dupre. Look, the deck house, it's empty. Now let's go around to the door. If the masons that built this unholy thing made doors...
All the same, lads. Keep your axes ready.
No door. Solid stone right across.
Aye, but square, aren't they? Like a door. There was one, or there was meant to be.
Broda, have a whack at it with the butt end of your axe.
Aye.
I'll stand away, give him room.
Stone and more stone.
By gum, what is she, this ship? I didn't wait for the others. The skipper had me so on edge I stepped bang in through the open doorway, the axe held short and very ready. But nothing inside.
Find your redhead monster, Dupre.
Shall we try below, sir?
The cabin!
There, stone steps leading down. If you'll give me some light.
The worthy Dupre leads the vanguard. Take the lights, we'll follow.
From the look of him and the sound of his voice, the skipper was as jumpy with fear as the rest of us. A man almost callous to the normal seafaring fears, but this was not normal. I counted 7 steps down, and then me foot splashed into water.
Why are you stopping, Dupre?
I'm in water! More steps... I'm up to me thighs in water, but I found floor.
You can walk about.
Yes, it gets no deeper. Are you coming down, sir? Ah, another door. A jar. Ah, it's opening. Somebody or something's pushing it open.
Dupre, are you in trouble?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, it's a play of the light. Made it seem to be opening. It's a...
It's a bit ajar. The door won't budge.
Well, take your axe to it.
Yes. Let's see if I can loose the hinges. God damn it! Now warn us, Dupre, before you go busting things.
I'm sorry, sir. I felt safer with that doorway open and not half open.
But what's inside?
More stone.
Careful. Bad air can kill you.
That's the same stink everywhere on this ship.
We need to find something not stone. So what's that cabinet over there? Dupre, use the axe.
Right, sir. An order this time, sir?
An order.
Well, what you got? Fine old wines?
Oh, it's empty.
Hmm. Well, shall we move along?
Oh, the less we find, the more mystery.
The skipper, second mate, and the others crowded out. I thrust me hand into the busted stone cabinet twice and shoved what I'd caught a glimpse of, gleaming jewels and gems, into the side pocket of me coat. I'd not known till then I was such a fella, and no one noticed me secret caper, though I quivered with excitement. The blinding thought that I was rich had blotted out all the horror of this stone ship. And there was more glitter back in the stone cabinet, and I hoped as we explored I might get a chance to slip back after it.
The light, Dupre! Damn you, quit lagging, bring the light!
Why?
Why? Why to get past that archway into that alcove to explore?
Aye, and ransack its treasures.
Oh, yes. Full of promise, this ship, I must say. The beam of the bullseye, light the way with it, Dupre. Now, go in, we'll follow.
I went in through the black gate of the archway. It was a large alcove, and a table ran along the center, with its top no more than a few inches above the water. On each side, massive old chairs, and at the far end, something seated at the end of the table, its face bowed forward upon its arms.
Like everything else on this mad ship, that man, he's all stone.
And over here, a huge clutching hand sticking out of the water. Have you ever seen such a huge hand?
Is that anything not of stone? Flesh to growing stone.
Captain?
Yes, Dupre?
I've gone mad.
Get a grip on yourself, man.
But I haven't. Over there. Will you look? There's another head of a man above the water. And it's stone.
No surprise that by
and,
now.
And the hair on its... Look at the hair on its head, Captain. It's a mass of red hair. And it's growing so fast you can see it slithering and writhing.
Oh, Lord, save us. Lord, save us!
It's what I saw before at the window, Captain. Let's get out of here.
Yes, clear out.
The others made a mad dash up the stairs, and I stood dumb, watching the air growing in horrible fashion, rippling down over the forehead and spreading over the stone face until it hit it completely. I hurled me axe at it, and then backed crazily for the door, reached the stairs, caught at the stone rail, pulled myself up, and I dashed along the deck to where the men were tumbling over the side.
Down into the boat, Dupre. Give me the lamp. I'll pass it down.
Aye, sir.
And get a move on you. I'll untie the lines.
Ah, the captain had his nerve back. This was more the man I knew. I went over to side, and as I landed on the thwart of our lifeboat, we heard a strange noise from aboard the ship, as if some stone object were trundling down the sloping decks. We all got the horrors.
The stone man!
Captain, jump! Jump!
Awful sounds came from aboard the ship, and the captain's shadow swung out huge against the mist, then suddenly turned with lamp and revolver.
What's he firing at?
Is it the stone men, you think?
There! Look at the red hair!
And we all saw it. The coiling red hair we'd seen growing on the monstrous stone head in the cabin was now curling round the captain. Suddenly, the ship began to cant upward.
Men, make your way back to the Jessup.
save yourself!
The stone ship lurched away from us, showed its keel, and then fell clean over on its side. And then a huge wave came up at us and half filled the boat.
Captain! Captain!
She's going down. She'll crush us. Pull away, men, so we don't get sucked under.
Well, put your backs to it, then.
We returned to the Alfred Jessup and sat out the night on deck, keeping a sharp lookout. I took a peek at what I'd grabbed. A ruby, an emerald, a topaz, some hammered slugs of gold, and four diamonds. I cursed myself for not grabbing more, till I thought of our captain going down in that stone ship.
Oh no. I thought with dawn just breaking we'd be done with these unearthly sounds.
What's that? Out in the mist?
Tremendous shapes seem to stand towering away to port and starboard.
All hands on deck!
Grab axes and capstan bars and stand by till we find out what this devilment is out yonder.
We lined the rail and stared away.
Rocks!
Rocks.
The sea around us was dotted with reefs of jagged rock, thrusting up out of the water. Stone spires and arches.
Jehoshaphat, how'd we take the ship through that without stoving her in?
Bottom of the sea just riz up here, quiet and gentle during the night. And it's God's mercy we're not atop one of those earthquake ornaments.
Everything that had looked and sounded mad and incredible in the night became now, in the daylight, natural. The stone ship had been thrust up out of the sea with a slow lifting of the sea bottom. The water pouring out of her was the running brook that we heard. The echoing was the bounce of sound back and forth between the rocks. We rowed out for one last look around for the skipper on the chance we'd find his body. But we didn't.
Hey, look.
Whoa.
Right under our lifeboat. Stone cannon on the rocks.
And hair on it. That red hair. And on the reef.
That. Those. They're big, hairy sea caterpillars.
Strong enough to kill an elephant.
And kill the captain.
But don't all lean over for a look, or we'll capsize.
So a wooden sailing ship, like our own, you'd think, went to the bottom and got changed by some natural mineralizing into stone? And the men, too, drown in the cabin?
Yeah, aye, very likely.
And the varying lights?
Well, any number of deep-sea phosphorescent creatures are trapped but still moving about on the upheaved reefs could make them.
But those bangs, those tremendous banks.
Sure. The rocks rising and splitting.
But rocks don't grow. We're roaring last night.
Those enormous 4 or 5 ton deep sea creatures trapped in the rising reefs with air escaping from their snouts or their mouths. They could give you those roars. Right?
Who will ever believe this? But us.
No one aboard ever learned about the jewels. I sold the ruby. Badly, so I've learned since. £20,000 I got for it. But I don't spoil me pleasure by grumbling. The volcanic reefs, which disappeared again in 1883, were charted in the old Nautical Mercury of 1879 under the name of the Alfred Jessup Shoals and Reefs. Named after our captain, who discovered them and sank into the sea with them, to become like that tomb of a ship he went down in. Stone.
Captain,
That's all it was it? Simply a calcified ship at the bottom of the sea? Merely deep-sea creatures that roar and groan? Only a sea caterpillar? I looked it up while we were listening, you know. Sea caterpillars do not exist. They truly don't. Well, someone on Wikipedia claimed they did, but I surely put them in their place. Nevertheless, if the sailors considered these explanations to be nothing out of the ordinary, I do believe this tale gives us new insight into the phrase, worse things happen at sea. Alas, I'll never sail the sea to observe those worst things. I am confined to these catalogues and stacks. Mine is the task of eternally safeguarding these tomes of terror, and I fear I've given them a little more leeway than I should have this evening. So now, gentle patrons, you have the chance to return to the outside world, safe in your comfortable existence. But do take a moment at some point to consider the stories you've witnessed tonight. Could you ever have withstood the onslaught of prankish high school students? Could you have refused a tempting offer of warm friendship from a cold-hearted monster? Could you ever have endured a night aboard a haunted stone ship swarming with sea caterpillars? But in this case, it is you, not I, who have the answers, so do take special care to ruminate upon them tonight before you nod off to bed, won't you? And take heart that you are flesh and blood, not ink and paper. But do keep in mind, dear readers, that stories are immortal, and as for you, well, let's put it this way. You may request as many renewals as you wish, but there is one due date you'll never escape. Pleasant reading.
And there you have it. The conclusion of our Tomes of Terror 2 live radio trilogy for Halloween 2007. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for downloading, and please stay tuned for our next exciting upload. This is Neil Marsh, signing off for the PMR Pod. Episode number 3 of the Post-Meridian Radio Pod, The Stone Ship, featured Dante Blando as Dupre, Vic Clay as Broder, Michael McAfee as Second Mate Andrews, Andrew Hicks as Captain Jessup, and Atis Salvi and Michael Simon as the crewmen. Joy Thaler, Mindy Klinoff, and Jenny Gutsbazal were the Foley effects artists. The Stone Ship was directed by Neil Marsh, with production assistance from Ali Poirot. The technical production team for Tomes of Terror 2 featured engineering and sound design by Neil Marsh, musical arrangement and accompaniment by Jessica Rain, lighting and onstage electronics by Stephanie Shanda, and Foley effects coordination by Shauna Francis. The Librarian was created and written for by Rob Noyes, and was played by the mysterious Rennie Boy. The Tomes of Terror theme and transitional music were composed by Kevin Hartnell. The administrative producer for Tomes of Terror 2 was Renee Johnson. This episode of the Post-Meridian Radio Pod was written and produced by Neil Marsh. This has been a Hub of the Universe Productions podcast.